Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 18, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food and manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the very short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, first things first. Tomorrow, Friday, is Dina's birthday. So happy birthday to Dina tomorrow. She's recovering from her thyroidectomy. And that's not a fun thing. Anything about that? The thyroid's a pretty doggone important part of your body, and so thyroidectomy, and she's still recovering from that. If you look up here, you know the deacon who is has the spiritual gift of drawing pictures on here is my son Dave. Well, he had knee surgery, and he can't get up and down the stairs, so he doesn't come up and do any of this anymore. So you might wonder, look at that flower. He can't come up and down the stairs. He doesn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't draw it. Well, Dave's daughter, Natalie, came up before class. Little Nat drew that flower. Geez, Louise. If I drew the flower, it would have looked like a fly or something. She did a fantastic job. She wanted to do it, too. 1 John 3, starting at verse 10b, we begin a new paragraph. Now, the Apostle John really gets into an in-depth study of virtue love. Two great concepts in the epistle of 1 John, virtue love, which he uses the word agape and agapao, and the spiritual life, which he uses the verb meno, translated to abide. When you see that word abiding, it is the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And 1 John 3:10b says, anyone who does not do righteousness, that's grace righteousness. Now, grace righteousness is a synonym for spiritual maturity. When you attain spiritual maturity, that's saying the same thing as you have attained grace righteousness. Anyone who does not do grace righteousness, produce grace righteousness, that is sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we, all believers, should love one another with impersonal love. Unconditional, impersonal love for all. 1 John 3:10b is very important and emphasizes that there is a very close relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all. Only John brings this out. Again, this is the most in-depth study of virtue love in the God-breathed scriptures. Impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation of grace righteousness developed in your soul. Grace righteousness is the believer operating by the royal family honor code. He has sacred honor, integrity, and virtue in his soul, which enables him to have impersonal love for all. This relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all can only exist in the life of the believer who is living the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the spiritual skill. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life was given to us by the Apostle John in 1 John 2:5, and that is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 1 John 2:5, if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this, we know that we are menoing in him, abiding in him, that we are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Virtue love is made up of three great problem-solving devices. Personal love for God the Father, which is the great motivational virtue. Impersonal love for all mankind, which is the functional virtue. And occupation with Jesus Christ. It is personal love for God the Father that motivates impersonal love for all mankind. And that's going to be developed in greater detail in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. Impersonal love is the problem-solving device for all personal relationships, all personal relationships, marriage, friendship, romance. Impersonal love is an unconditional guarantee that all members of the human race will be the recipients of sacred honor, virtue, integrity, without discrimination. Impersonal love manifests tolerance, courtesy, sensitivity, true sensitivity, and a relaxed mental attitude to others. Impersonal love is free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And God invented impersonal love to be absolutely unique. He invented it to have great impact in the world. The principle of impersonal love is directed to the entire human race. Under impersonal love, the whole human race is the beneficiary of your royal family honor code function. You treat all mankind with sacred honor, integrity, and virtue. Impersonal love is non-discriminating. Impersonal love is free from prejudice. Impersonal love is unconditional. Impersonal love is non-hypocritical. Impersonal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward everyone. When you make one exception, then you are saying that you do not have impersonal love. Instead, you are arrogant, functioning in Satan's cosmic system. Impersonal love is the problem-solving device for all personal relationship problems. In impersonal love, no merit is assigned to the object. Doesn't make any difference who or what the object is. You cannot base impersonal love on what people do to you or how people treat you. Impersonal love does not stop functioning because of the hostile and antagonistic attitude of others. Impersonal love is directed to both friends and enemy. Impersonal love is the highest form of honor and virtue in human interaction. Now we have the greatest role model of all time. The greatest role model for us is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ had infinite personal love for God the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to carry out the incarnation plan that the Father had for him, to go to a cross, Operation Grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind was the functional virtue whereby He willingly took our place. He willingly went to the cross, drank the cup of the sins of the whole world, and bore the judgment of those sins in His body. The Lord Jesus Christ received great injustice from mankind. He received an unfair Jewish trial. He received an unfair Roman trial. He was forsaken by His own disciples. He was humiliated, laughed at, scoffed, ridiculed, spat upon. He was beaten to the point His closest friends could hardly recognize Him. Thorns were crushed on His head. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ picked up His cross and went to Golgotha, where He was crucified. Impersonal love for the whole human race was demonstrated by Jesus Christ picking up His cross and going to Golgotha. Impersonal love for the whole human race was Christ taking our place willingly and being judged for our sins. Mankind is spiritually dead, totally depraved. The enemy of God, no damn good. But the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind enabled him to willingly go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. One of the great facets of impersonal love for all is forgiveness. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, crucified on the cross, and after all of the unfair treatment, all of the mental attitude sins toward him, all of the sins of the tongue. Look, he says he's the Son of God. He can't even save himself. How is he going to save anyone else? And the Lord Jesus Christ looked out and he said, he offered a prayer, Father, forgive them. After all that he's gone through, greater undeserved suffering than any member of the human race has ever received. After all of that, what does he say? Forgive them. How can Jesus Christ forgive the scum of the world? The scum of humanity all around the cross? Because of virtue love. His infinite personal love for God the Father motivated his infinite impersonal love for the whole human race. And he said, Father, forgive them. That came from impersonal love for the whole human race. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. The integrity of impersonal love. Impersonal love for all is the believer functioning by the Royal Family Honor Code. It is the functional virtue of grace righteousness. Impersonal love is manifesting sacred honor, virtue, integrity, thoughtfulness, grace function to all mankind. Impersonal love never loves people because of who and what they are. But rather, it is the function of one's grace righteousness, royal family honor code, virtue, integrity to all. The source of impersonal love is the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life God has given us in the church age. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is virtue love. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. 1 Peter 1:22, 1 Thessalonians 4:9 and 10. And another very important facet of impersonal love, one is forgiveness. The other is reconciliation. Impersonal love includes reconciliation, the removal of barriers in human relationships. Not the creating of barriers, the removing of barriers. Colossians 3:12-15. One of the great blessings of impersonal love for all is reconciliation. And in reconciliation is the removal of barriers in human relationships. It is forgiving as the Lord forgave you. It is grace function and kindness and humility and tolerance and patience. It is bearing with each other and forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. In that passage, Colossians 3:12-15, we have the word peace, and it's used in its technical term for reconciliation. Impersonal love manifests peace, reconciliation, the removing of barriers in human relationships. And yet I dare say most believers, they have no virtue love. No personal love for God the Father, that's obvious, because they don't have impersonal love for all. Instead of removing barriers, they create barriers. They're not living the spiritual life. They are living in Satan's cosmic system. They have mental attitude sins. They have sins of the tongue. They create barriers rather than remove them. That's not the plan of God. Now, probably and I said last week I could probably teach this until Christmas. Believe me, it'd be easy to do. Impersonal love and marriage. Impersonal love. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, your personal love for God the Father will motivate impersonal love to your spouse and will solve all marital problems. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians chapter 7, we'll start at verse 10. But to the married, to those of you who are married, I give instructions, not I, but the Lord. This is from the Lord. This is God's thinking. That the wife should not leave her husband. Now, that's from the Lord. Now, you can go and say, well, the Lord doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Well, then, you say that, I just don't want to be anywhere within about 100 feet of you when the lightning hits. To the married, I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. But if she does leave, let her remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband. What is that? Impersonal love function. Taking down, that's reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Impersonal love, that's reconciliation. Removing the barriers. But if she does leave, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled. Take down the barriers through impersonal love function to her husband. And then he adds, and the husband should not send his wife away either. All right. One. A very important part of impersonal love is reconciliation, the removal of barriers in a marriage. A very important part of impersonal love is reconciliation and the removal of barriers in a marriage. Now, all marriages have problems. Some of them will smile and say, not our marriage. All marriages have problems from time to time. Some of them are big, some are little. Thing that's great about a problem, reconciliation. Wahoo, woo! Reconciliation is great. That's fantastic. Every marriage has problems. Don't sit there and like to put your halo up like you were one of those that don't. Two, the order of the day is to forgive and forget. And this demands the functional virtue of impersonal love. The order of the day is to forgive and forget. Just look at your role model, Jesus Christ, the scum of the world around him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Infinite impersonal love for the whole world, for the scum of the world. The order of the day is to forgive and forget, and this demands the functional virtue of impersonal love. Marriage for the Christian is the most difficult, the most challenging, and the place of more failures than anything else in life. Failure in marriage is a failure of the believer's own spiritual life. Any relationship in life must be founded on truth. Truth. Principles of the Word of God. In order for marriage to be successful, there must be an understanding of the principles of Bible doctrine. The absolute truth of God's Word. You cannot build a marriage on human viewpoint or on philosophical writings. You must know, believe, and apply the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Who invented marriage? God did. Who's the expert on marriage? God is. So you must know, believe, and apply the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Three, no marriage will last without impersonal love. Just as no believer can advance to spiritual maturity without impersonal love. No marriage will last without impersonal love, just as no believer can advance to spiritual maturity without impersonal love. Four. Marriages do not fail because of financial problems, unfaithfulness, or other controversies, but because believers fail in the area of impersonal love. Marriages do not fail because of financial problems. They do not fail because of unfaithfulness or other controversies. I could bring in 100 different ones. Probably still wouldn't touch on one that applies to you. Or other controversies, but because believers fail in the area of impersonal love. All right, now you're in 1 Corinthians 7. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. One of the great passages on impersonal love. And I want you to think about everything that the Apostle Paul is putting down here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4. Impersonal love is forbearing and kind. Impersonal love is not jealous. Impersonal love does not brag. Impersonal love is not arrogant. Impersonal love is not unmannerly, nor selfish, nor irritable, nor mindful of wrongs. Mindful of wrong, thinking about wrongs against you. Impersonal love does not rejoice in injustice, but joyfully sides with the truth. Impersonal love can overlook faults. We all have faults. Why? We all have sin natures. We all have faults. Impersonal love can overlook faults. Impersonal love is full of hope, full of truth, full of endurance, and impersonal love never fails. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Who invented marriage? God did. Who's the expert on marriage? God is. You want to have a happy and successful marriage? He gives it all, lays it all out in His Word. Exactly. Just a matter of you learning it, believing it, applying it. It's you growing up in your great in the grace and knowledge of Christ and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Ephesians 5 verse 22, we start with the wives. Wives. And then we have a mandate from a verb. Hupotasso. H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S, long O. It's a military word. It means to be subordinate to authority. Wives, be subordinate. You might see the word submit. Probably the best translation is be subordinate to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, His body, of which He is the Savior. Now, as the church, hupotasso, as the church is to be subordinate to the authority of Christ, so also wives should be hupotassoing, subordinate to their husbands in everything. Who put that in there? In everything. Who? The guy who put that in there isn't even married. Paul never did marry. It's God the Holy Spirit that guided the Apostle Paul to put this in there. So also wives should be subordinate to their husbands in everything. You can't do that without impersonal love for all. There are two things there. Genuine humility, which is respect. Respect. You know what the greatest demonstration of love from the wife to the husband? Respect. Respect for his authority. In everything. Now, the husbands. And I think this is, well, I know this is absolutely impossible apart from virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Husbands, love your wives just as, here's the comparison, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What Christ did on the cross, Operation Grace, to the whole world in spiritual death and totally depraved and no damn good. As Christ demonstrated impersonal love to the whole world and what he did on the cross, this is the mandate for you husbands. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You can't do that without virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians 3:18, the Apostle Paul repeats to the wives, wives, hupotasso, be subordinate to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives. This is virtue love, impersonal love for all. And do not be bitter, harsh with them. Since marriage was invented by God, God is the expert on marriage. And God has revealed in the Bible how it works and how it becomes successful. Most problems in marriage are symptoms. Symptoms of a far greater problem, the disease. And what is the disease? The failure to live the spiritual life. If you deal with the disease, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the problems will be solved. Five. Marriage, make sure you get this down, marriage was never designed for outside interference. Marriage was never designed for outside interference, including counseling. Never. Marriage was never designed for outside interference, including counseling. Six, so the divine policy, the absolute truth revealed by God for marriage has three parts. God set it up. This is it. You follow this divine policy. He's the one who invented it. He's the expert on it. He's revealed how it works. Three parts. One, the husband must love his wife with impersonal love, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's the first part. Two, the wife must hupotasso her husband, be subordinate to the authority of her husband in everything. And that requires impersonal love and humility. Third part, both of you, the husband and the wife, you're both are to forgive one another as Christ forgave. And that demands impersonal love. Both of you, the husband and the wife, are to forgive one another as Christ forgave. And that is impersonal love. All three parts, impersonal love. That's the divine policy revealed in the God-breathed scriptures. You learn it, you believe it, you apply it. It works. Seven. In marriage, impersonal love as the integrity envelope provides both capacity and ability for the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself as a substitute for her. In marriage, impersonal love. Once you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, now you have the integrity envelope and that your personal love can be inside of. So in marriage, impersonal love is the integrity envelope provide both capacity and ability for the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself as a substitute for her. 8. The husband's authority in marriage requires that he have the necessary virtue, integrity, and sacred honor. He's been given the authority. He's the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. The husband's authority in marriage requires that he have the necessary virtue, integrity, sacred honor. That is grace righteousness related to impersonal love for all. 9. The greatest initiation of love that a man can make is personal love inside that integrity envelope of impersonal love. The greatest initiation of love that a man can make is personal love residing inside that integrity envelope of impersonal love. Impersonal love is that virtue whereby the integrity of the subject exceeds the unattractiveness of the object. Being unconditional, impersonal love emphasizes the virtue and honor of the subject rather than the attractiveness or repulsiveness of the object. 10. Without the virtue of impersonal love in marriage, personal love has neither the problem-solving capabilities nor the staying power. Without the virtue of impersonal love in marriage, personal love has neither the problem-solving capabilities nor the staying power. Without impersonal love, the husband cannot fulfill the command to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Without impersonal love, the husband cannot fulfill the command to love his wife when she is at her absolute worst. Without impersonal love, the husband cannot fulfill the command to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Secondly, without impersonal love, the wife cannot fulfill the command to hupotasso, be subordinate to her husband in everything. Without impersonal love, the wife cannot fulfill the command to be subordinate to her husband in everything. And third, without impersonal love, neither partner can execute the divine rule to forgive one another. To forgive one another as Christ forgave. Forgive and forget. Very important part of forgiveness is forgetting. Forgive and forget. Twelve. Success in marriage demands maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, resulting in virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 1 John 2:5. Success in marriage demands maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, resulting in virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 13. You can only execute the divine policy for marriage that God has given us. Ephesians 5:22-25. Colossians 3:18-19. He's given us the divine policy for marriage. You can only execute that divine policy for marriage by the grace and power of God. By the grace and power of God. The power of the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Word of God in your heart, maximum metabolized doctrine. You can only execute this divine policy revealed by God. He's the inventor of marriage. He's the expert on marriage. He's given the divine policy on how marriage works and is successful. But you can only execute that divine policy for marriage by the grace and the power of God. 14. You can only execute the divine policy for marriage by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill and attain the ultimate objective, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. 15. You can only execute the divine policy for marriage by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill and reach the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And the result of virtue love brought to completion in your heart is success and happiness in marriage. So again, 1 John 3:10b and 11. Anyone who does not do righteousness, produce grace, righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God, nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we, all believers, should love one another with impersonal love. One, stability in the human race depends on stability in marriage. Stability in the human race depends on stability in marriage. Marriage is a divine institution. It's for the whole human race, believers and unbelievers alike. Stability in a nation comes from stability in marriage. The breakdown of marriage destroys a client nation from within. The divine institution of marriage is provided by God for the stability of the entire human race, as well as for its preservation. Two, the man has the authority in marriage. He is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. The man has the authority in marriage. And it's 100-0. That doesn't mean he abuses it. That means that he has to have sacred honor, virtue, integrity. But it is 100-0. Not 50-50. I've heard a lot of goofy preachers, and it's a 50-50 relationship. And then the women say, no, it's 100-0, and I have 100. It's 100 and 0. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. And Christ has the authority 100 to 0. But that means that the husband has to have grace righteousness, sacred honor, virtue, integrity. The man's authority in marriage does not call for any kind of bullying. Not at all. If a man uses force to exert his authority in marriage, then he becomes a loser all the way. If the woman rejects the man's authority in marriage, then she becomes a loser all the way. 3. Both parties in marriage must take the responsibility for their own decision. They made the decision to get married. And both parties in marriage must take the responsibility for their own decision. Now, marriage is not a problem-solving device. We have studied God's problem-solving devices. 10 of God's problem-solving devices. Have you studied that marriage is a problem-solving device? No. That's because marriage is a problem-manufacturing device. It's a problem-manufacturing device. No one has ever solved their problems by getting married. And here's another one. No one's ever solved their problem by having children. Maybe by having a few dogs. That helps. But marriage is not a problem-solving device. Marriage is a problem-manufacturing device. No one has ever solved their problems by getting married. 4. Make sure you get this one down. No pastor should ever counsel women under any circumstances. No pastor should ever counsel women under any circumstances. The purpose of the gift of pastor-teacher is to communicate the doctrine of marriage to a group, a congregation, and then let people make their own decisions in the privacy of their priesthood. Marriage is a private matter. It is not the responsibility of the pastor to counsel women. No pastor should ever counsel women under any circumstances. And I've made that policy from day one. This is where I do my counseling, right here. You're a congregation. Now, When I come out here about anywhere from half an hour to 20 minutes before class, when I come out here, there's nobody here. And then somebody will come in. Sherry came in, sat down. I said, "Well, Sherry, get ready. I'm going to cancel class if it's just you and me, because that'd be bullying." "Oh, well, I'll just cancel class and see you all Sunday, maybe." But as a group, you have the privacy of the priesthood. I am teaching you exactly what the Bible says about the divine institution of marriage and virtue, love, the policy of marriage for the husband, for the wife. And I communicate it from up here. You have the privacy of your priesthood to learn it, to believe it, and then apply it. This is where I do my counseling. And I have had people call me up and want to know if I would counsel them over the phone. And I said, why in the world would you destroy your own privacy? Why would you want to destroy your privacy? I said, I don't want to. I could probably give you some great advice, but what you really need to do is grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. What you really need to do is just live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. But I don't want to hear anything. So I don't want to hear anything about your problems and, you know, besides all it is you say he did that and he did that or she did that and she did that. And I don't want to hear who did what to somebody else. And all that is hearsay. I have no business even listening. When I hear anything like that, to me, that is just gossip. What do you say? What are you doing this for? To make that person look bad and you look great? You're wrong! So stop your gossiping and stop it. This and that. I do my counseling right here so that you have the privacy of your priesthood. Marriage is a private matter. It is not the responsibility of the pastor to counsel women. So no pastor should ever counsel women under any circumstances. 5. Personal love for God the Father and impersonal love for all mankind are the basis for the greatest possible love and the only true love in history. Personal love for God the Father and impersonal love for all mankind are the basis for the greatest possible love and the only true love in history. True love is virtue, the capacity and the motivation for all love comes from virtue. Marriage was designed for virtue. So personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, the functional virtue, are the basis for the greatest, greatest possible love and the only true love in history. True love is virtue. The capacity and motivation for all love comes from virtue. Well, there's much, much more. Christmas is a long time away still. Although you know every day is Christmas. At least it should be. But when I see the world out there, every day is Halloween for most of the world. But if you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, every day will be Christmas, and every day will be Thanksgiving, no matter what's going on in your life. And the older you get, you have more things going on in your life. And by the way, don't call me and tell me about all of your health problems. We get it on the prayer list. It's on the prayer list. I pray for you and your problems. I hate, my brother calls me every Monday. every Monday my brother calls me. And he's not quite as old. I'm the oldest brother. He's I always tell him he's past me. And he's starting to give an organ recital. Now he calls me and starts an organ recital. And I said, "Don, I hate organ recitals. I don't want to hear your organ recital, and you don't want to hear my organ recital. I hate talking about it." "Yeah, here's what I'm going to say. Don, you and I are both hurdlers. Well, we're just running over some hurdles, and we love running hurdles, right? You love running hurdles. I love running hurdles. Well, we're still running hurdles. So we're just running over a few hurdles, smiling at everybody, waving at the stands, and honoring and glorifying the Lord. That's all this is. You get a little older, you get to run over a few more hurdles. You get to run hurdles too. All of you get to be hurdlers. Of all the events, that's the best one there is in track and field. High hurdles, intermediate hurdles. And now you get to run some hurdles. So, nobody wants to hear your organ recital. And as you get older, that's all old people talk about. That's all they talk about. Harlan's got some relatives. They have all these things going on. They hear over this and this and this and this. And then one of them goes, "Well, at least I got my health." Oh, Bacaba. All right. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.